In fact, Morris, you're in the studio with us right now. Morris Misalowski, how are you?
I'm excellent, thanks, and welcome home.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Interesting, I was mentioning yesterday, I mentioned a couple of times this week, but how surprised I was by some of the most desert areas in the world, how it was easy to get internet access and mobile phone access.
Isn't it incredible? Mobile phones have really taken over the world. Now, the statistic is that somewhere around 6 billion people on the planet with just under 4 billion handsets.
Whoa.
Yes. Isn't that incredible?
How many people I know that have got more than one phone?
Well, in Australia we say that we hit 22 million only a couple of weeks ago, and we've got just over 23 million handsets, so more than one per person.
Yeah, it's extraordinary.
So it is extraordinary. But what I'm finding in the developing countries is that handsets, mobile phones, whatever you want to call them, are really taking over from computers because they're far easier, far cheaper. Satellite equipment, all that kind of stuff just makes it an easier thing to have.
Well, I made the decision when I went away not to take my computer because my wife told me not to.
That's
but
a good reason.
I wish I had, because the amount of wireless that was available everywhere in the desert, Wadi Rum, you know, where Lawrence of Arabia, you know, trod with his, and in fact, it's in the film, you know, this is red dirt stuff where you drive for an hour out of, you know, out of the nearest stop.
Yeah.
You're in Wadi Rum, and people are doing their wireless. How?
Incredible.
I can't get it. I don't understand
it's
how that works.
Some kind of Wi-Fi.
That certainly is some kind of Wi-Fi. It's bizarre. But obviously, that's even going to be, I mean, I'll never travel anywhere without a laptop again, you know, instead of having to go to internet cafes, which were everywhere across the Middle East, and in every small town they had one. Palmyra, which is only like up four shops, they got an internet cafe. But nevertheless, you know, instead of having to worry about finding internet cafes, I could just have sat on my little camel rug and done a blog. How wonderful that would have been.
Oh, not for your wife, though.
Well, yeah, no.
Or maybe.
Maybe it was, yeah. No, it was very interesting to do that. But I did do a blog, actually, and if you haven't seen it, it's on radioaustralia.net.au/today. We just put up the last installment of my travel blog of the trip right across Asia. So have a look. radioaustralia.net.au/today is the travel blog. Blogging is so big at the moment. We're hearing about blogging conferences.
We are. And they're doing a lot of that. And if you want to go for the next incarnation, it's microblogging.
What's microblogging?
Microblogging is that whole Twitter-esque type stuff where we're doing really quick, instant type things. But the new form of microblogging we're going to see in a few years, and some people are doing it already, is they carry a device around with them, a little black box. They wear it around their neck, and it takes pictures every 2 or 3 seconds, whatever you program it for, of where you're going. So people can actually watch you live streaming, walking around, doing whatever you do on a day-to-day basis.
But that's the big complaint that people have about Facebook. They're saying, I don't want to hear what people have had for breakfast, which is not really what Facebook's about,
no,
is it?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, I do occasionally hear from people who say, this is what I did this morning. I wake up this morning wondering why the world has gone to hell in a handbasket and all of that stuff. Why is global warming? But nevertheless, why are factories still pumping out so much, you know, CO? Anyway, that was actually a blog, I think, that was sent to me by one person that I know very well, Jeremy Wagstaff, who's a technology commentator. He keeps a blog at loosewireblog.com. G'day, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Are you sort of, you have been sort of blurring the distinction between Facebook and Twitter a little bit, haven't you? Occasionally you put in the little pondering thoughts in your Facebook page?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I use a service called ping.fm, which will cross-post. So if you send something to one service, it will appear on others as well. Of course, you don't want to overdo that because your non-geeky friends might not be fascinated by what your friends on Twitter. So you have to be a bit careful about that.
As long as you're being philosophical, which you are, so that's pretty cool. Now, Windows 7.
Yeah. Have you tried it yet?
No, I haven't. Is it good?
Well, we talked about this before, and when I first tried it a few months back, Microsoft was very clever. They kind of seeded early editions of the software, giving them out free basically to anybody who wanted them. And that helped to create a buzz and helped to reinforce this idea that this was a real departure from the cataclysmic disaster that was Windows Vista. But now the thing has been launched to great hullabaloo. We talked a couple of weeks ago about these terribly lame launch parties that Microsoft was encouraging people to have with hack, and it just
incredibly lame launch parties. Now that's enthusiasm for you.
Well, I couldn't decide whether I was more offended by the idea of these launch parties or by the fact that I wasn't invited to a single one. But if you're in Japan, you can swan down to the local Burger King, which takes this idea of the Windows 7 promotion to a new level, downwards, which is you can get a Windows 7 Whopper, which is seven patties stacked on top of one another in a sandwich.
Ah, the Heartstopper.
It must be a Heartstopper, yes. And I suppose if you don't like the Whopper, then you can sort of throw it at your Windows 7 computer.
Fair enough. But I've heard some. In fact, we've got Morris in the studio there. Morris, what have you played with Windows 7?
I've had a brief look through it. It's an interesting package. I always say you have to wait 6 months anyway before you go mainstream on them. But it certainly made some interesting additions, and I agree with Jeremy. I mean, that disaster they had before just has to be forgotten.
Mm. All right, Sona, to see whether you're at your computers. Okay, now, Jeremy, you've got a story about hybrid cars that are so quiet they need ringtones?
Yeah, I thought you might like this one. These electric cars and hybrid cars are so quiet that, of course, they're running people over because people walk into the street, they don't hear anything coming, and surprise, surprise, they sort of get run over by a large...
Good point, yeah.
So the Fisker Karma, which is $87,000 plug-in hybrid, emits a sound pumped out of speakers in the bumpers that the founder described as a cross between a Starship and a Formula One car. Nissan is apparently also working with the film industry on sounds that could be emitted by its Leaf battery electric vehicle. Toyota's working with the National Highway Traffic Safety Commission. People are kind of trying to come up with sounds which they think will kind of stop people from walking into the street or walking in front of the car.
You'd have to hear them from quite a distance, though, wouldn't you, Jeremy? You really would. You wouldn't be able to, it wouldn't just be a little bleep, bleep, bleep. It would have to be quite loud to be 100 metres away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, I do a lot of jogging here, and I jog on footpaths, and people don't get out of the way. If I'm a pedestrian, I'm very irritated by joggers always rushing past me. If I'm a jogger, I'm very irritated by pedestrians not getting out of the way. I realize I'm a total hypocrite. But I realize that what I would really like to have is a wristwatch, which just gave a little kind of beep when you're approaching somebody else, a sort of polite beep, like, get out of the way. I know I'm a bit of a nuisance, but I'm trying to stay in shape type beep.
Yeah, I do that on my bike too. I used to actually bing people, but with my bell. But it sounds so rude. It's like a get out of the way. So I just go ah la la. I sing to myself, which is probably exactly what they're doing on the hybrid cars. They hear who's this idiot who's singing behind us. Oh, it's a bike. I'll get out of the way.
And I imagine we all singing, they really would get out of the way.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Jeremy Wagstaff, it's been great speaking to you. We'll talk to you again next Friday, huh?
That sounds good.
Okay, see you. Jeremy Wagstaff, technology commentator, keeps a blog at loosewireblog.com and has a special link to some of the stuff that Jeremy mentions here on Radio Australia Today. Well, coming up in just a minute, and Morris, you're going to stay, of course, stay for our session with Phil Whelan, RTHK.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Peccadillo is the word of the day today, which is P for Papa. Yeah, it's a good word, isn't it? P for Papa, E for Echo, C for Charlie, C for Charlie, A for Alpha, D for Delta, I for India, L for Lima, O for Oscar. Peccadillo. And that's today at radioaustralia.net.au, or you can SMS +61 427 727272. I actually bought a base station, a wireless base station, during the week. Of course, the old modem that I had just stopped working with the new laptops I got. So I went and bought a little airport type system. And I was so surprised. I set it up in 5 minutes and it works.
Aren't they incredible? They really are out of the box stuff now. They spend a lot of time and energy making sure that you can do exactly what you've just said.
It's extraordinary. Yes. I mean, the only thing it asks me, and I always get a palpitation with this, where it says, and we need your password. If you don't have that, it will be supplied by your ISP, your internet service provider. And I always go, oh, no, I don't want the password. But I open my little computer folder, and there it was, username and password. So I put that in, and it all just ka-ting, worked.
Isn't it just great when that happens?
Yeah.
Just great.
Oh, I know.
So you're all connected now.
And both laptops are connected, and they're both fast, because they're N speed.
Yeah, N series, yeah.
So good. It's so good. I like technology now. I hate it when it doesn't work. I hate it,
Ain't that the truth?
That's the truth. Okay, Morris, we'll be talking with you about Coca-Cola. paying people to travel the world for a year?
It's not a bad gig, huh?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
I wouldn't think it's a bad gig. All right. And a new music service is being launched. Google's doing it.
Of course, as Google does everything.
As does everything. Okay. We'll get there very soon. And there was a very funny reference to Microsoft on The Simpsons the other day, where Lisa Simpson was talking about, we can't allow these monopolies, companies that buy up other companies and then kill these other companies out. And Bart said, you mean like Microsoft? She goes, yes. I thought, how did you get away with that one? Very funny. Time for us to go to the news. We'll be back with more technology and with Phil Whelan from RTHK in Hong Kong, and a special guest, Ian Moss, will be joining us from Cold Chisel. Just on the phone, he's just got a new album out, which is a killer album, Soul on West 53rd. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes from now. Let's find out what's happening in the news, though. We've got Lynette Hislop with the news headlines. G'day, Lynette.
Hi, Phil. The environmental group, says an oil spill off the West Australian coast in the Timor Sea is far worse than first thought. The Worldwide Fund for Nature has completed a three-day boat trip of the area and says the spill is having a significant impact on marine life. The West Atlas oil rig operated by PTTEP Australasia has been leaking for 9 weeks. Engineers will try and plug that leak again today. Foreign ministers from the Association of Southeast Asian Nations have raised pressure on Burma to hold free and fair elections next year. At a meeting at the Thai resort of Hua Hin, they also urged the Burmese junta to free pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi. And Australia's federal opposition says it's disappointing that the 78 asylum seekers on an Australian customs ship in Indonesia now cannot dock as quickly as first hoped. And more on all of those stories, Phil, coming up at the top of the hour.
Thank you very much for that. And that story, too, about that oil rig, too. We've got the World Wildlife Fund for Nature, Worldwide Fund for Nature, has said that if the spill was closer to the shore, this is the one off the West Australian coast, if the spill was closer to the shore, there would be global outrage. And she said there were times when we were literally in a sea of oil from left to right as far as they could see. It was heavily oiled water. And they were seeing dolphins surfacing. Yes. So no oil spill is ever... Well, it's not a spill, it's a leak, of course. No oil leak is ever going to be a happy ending there. But at least somebody is monitoring what's going on.
Radio Australia Today with Phil Kathkaloudis.
Morris, you happy to be the judge?
I am,
of words?
Course.
Okay, the word of the day is peccadillo. We've had a few entries that have come in. And we'll start with one from Mary, Mary Tioni. She has actually taken it literally, I suppose, just word by word. She says, peccadillo, pack at deal low. Thank you for that. Doesn't thickly mean anything, but it sort of does make does move in with...
That's very or, literal.
Better deal or. Thanks, Mary. Peccadillo is another one. This is from Daisy. That's the little bird which sits on the back of the armadillo and pecks off unwanted insects. Hmm. Okay, let's move on to, let's see, Gordo, an armadillo with overdeveloped chest muscles. Pecks. Also slang for a hen-pecked married armadillo. Don't we know your pain? Also, a large container of kosher dill pickles.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, well, you're all Jewish, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you get
I don't know,
okay.
Dill pickles, though.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, we've had peccadillo as a gigolo armadillo. Hey, this is good. I like this. These are good. Another one, this is from Philip. Peccadillo is the title to the theme song of a group of large-billed birds who can't abide fools. Large-billed... peccadillo... who can't abide fools. Sung to the tune of Happy Birthday to You. Peccadillo today, peccadillo today, peccadillo, peccadillo, peccadillo today. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
Yes, and we've had one from Joe as well. In my village, we crossed a hen with an armadillo and we got a peccadillo. Very good. Let me just do a quick check to see if we had any more come through in the last couple of seconds. We haven't. So thank you to all of them.
I think we give it to the last one.
Peccadillo. Yeah, that's cute. That's Joe. And from Papua
well
New Guinea. Joe, you are the winner today of the word of the day. And peccadillo does mean a slight offence, a petty fault. A slight offence and a petty fault, a peccadillo. Okay, the word of the day for Monday is invidious. Invidious. I for India, N for November, V for Victor, I for India, D for Delta, I for India, O for Oscar, U for Uniform, S for Sierra. Invidious. V for Victor in the middle of that. Okay, that is the word of the day on Monday. Today at radioaustralia.net.au is the address to send us your entries, or you can SMS +61 427 727 272. I'll go through the weather for you. And we'll just do the weather for today. If you're listening to us in Phnom Penh, some thundery showers and 30 degrees. Siem Reap, thunderstorms 28. Vientiane, we've got some cloud about. And we should get a top of about 32 degrees today. In Denpasar, if you're still with us, 31 degrees. Chance of storms, but only a small chance. In Jakarta, we're looking at 32 degrees being your expected top and a bit of cloud around. Malay in the Maldives, 32, and again, a bit of cloud. Dili, we've got a top of about 32 degrees, and it should be mostly cloudy, and it's about, what, 24 minutes to 11 in Dili. Hello to you. Let's see, in Singapore on Rediffusion, we've got chance of thunderstorms, 32 degrees. Beijing, clear and 24. Moving to the Pacific, Honiara today, chance of thunderstorms, 31. Port Vila, 23 with some cloud. Rarotonga, chance of rain and 25. Niue, some cloud about, 26. Apia, chance of rain and 30. And in Saipan, some thundery showers and a top of about 30 degrees. In Tarawa, we've got 31 with some thunderstorms. Nuku'alofa, partly cloudy, 23. Suva, clear and 25. Lae, you've got a mostly cloudy day, 30 degrees. And Port Moresby, we've got 31 degrees with some scattered cloud about. All right, so what are we going to be talking about today with you?
Lots of stuff. Perhaps let's go back to Coke and that great job that they've got.
Oh, yes,
okay. It's an interesting place to start. Yeah. Now, some of you will remember that the Queensland government had a job for bloggers, and you had to promote yourself, and the prize was a six-month stint on Hamilton Island, all expenses paid. Coke's kind of said they're going to up the ante, and they're looking for three people to spend the entire 2010 on the road, and they're going to send them across 206 countries. In other words, every country in the world that sells Coca-Cola.
Whoa!
Not bad, huh?
Whoa.
And in return for that free trip for the three of them, they're expected to blog about their experiences. Not so much about Coke. Of course, Coke's going to sponsor it. But the theme around it is, it's all about happening. So they want to know how Coke is making people's life better in those countries that they go to.
All right. We'll be talking to you about that and some of the other issues when we get together with Phil Whelan. And don't forget Ian Moss from Cold Chisel. He will be with us pretty soon. I want you to have a listen to this, though. This is from the new album, Ian Moss's new album, Soul on West 53rd. It's a whole lot of the older songs, some of the soul songs, some of the blues songs that he loved the most. We'll just play a bit of it now. See if you can recognise this one. Morris, can you tell what this song is before he starts singing? It's an old soul song.
No.
I couldn't tell either.
No.
I couldn't believe it's the same one, but wait till we start singing. Well, I'd run, but there's nowhere to go. Ah, that one.
Oh,
yeah.
Will
follow me, I know. Without the love, love I need. It's the beginning of the end for me. Oh, cause they're taking away all my reasons for living. When you push aside.
But it's-
Okay, Phil. Phil Whelan. How are you, my dear friend?
Good, mate. How are you? Where you been?
Ah, I've been nowhere. Just Egypt, Jordan. I dropped by Syria and then said hello to Turkey and just decided I'll come home then.
Signed a couple of world peace treaties. Converted a few virgins.
I'm not that easy about the peace treaties.
Don't say at the same time.
Oh, Ian Moss. That was Ian Moss. You know, Moss from Cold Chisel.
I do. He came and said hi.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's going to say hi with us in about 10 minutes.
Yep. He gave me a copy of his record, but we've had a clean up here and it's gone, but it's brilliant.
Which record? The new one, Song on West 53rd. Awesome. Yeah, it's great. So, good. Well, he will say hello to you again in just a minute. We've got Morris Misalowski with us again.
G'day, Morris.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. I just got to ask you something totally random. I got an email from a friend the other day, Phil, and it said, "Can you Adam and Eve this?" And it was an advert for the new Lloyd Webber show. Has it opened yet?
Which new Lloyd Webber show?
The continuation one, of... Yeah.
Phantom of the Opera. No, it was supposed to open in November in Shanghai, Toronto and the West End, but they put it off for 6 months.
Wonder why.
Yeah, well, they're doing some rewrites. But apparently, I mean, we've been told from people who have played in the last Phantom of the Opera that it's not bad.
Lots of people have said that. I think it's more focused on Raoul this time. I'm just curious about this one.
Well, you know what the story is, don't you?
Not really. Remind me.
Well, the story is it's set... 10 years later, mm-hmm. supposedly 10 years later, 1910. But of course, the original was set in 1880, so it doesn't make a lot of sense there. He's very fluid with
doing
time.
A rewrite, can't you?
Yeah, I know. It depends on how many whites he's had that night. But you know, but so it's 1910, and it's set in Coney Island in New York.
Okay.
And the Phantom is the person who is responsible for all the rides and all the gizmos at Coney Island. His manager is the role that my missus played in the show, and that is Madame Giry. She is his manager now. And suddenly turning up, we've got Christine, who is going to be one of the performers there. And her husband is Raoul. Now, Raoul is by this stage an alcoholic. And
this is like The Simpsons meets Family Guy meets... It's just
so
amazing.
Good, isn't it?
This glamorous setup in the Phantom of the Opera. And then the guy's running some funfair rides. And bloody... Raoul's a dipso.
Well, there's more than that. There's a reason why he's a dipso. He went to war, apparently. I don't actually mention which war, but he went to war.
Never mentioned the war.
And he unfortunately took a shot where no man has taken a shot before. And
you're kidding me.
Is he wearing
a
mask?
I'm serious. And so this maimed Raoul is at Coney Island with his wife, sort of playing the handbag.
His wife being...
Christine.
Oh, they did get married in the end.
Oh, I think so. Oh, I think they'd have to, you know.
I'm so curious about this one. I figured you might know what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the story.
Can you believe it, says Mike. It was Warren. He said, can you believe this?
That's the story, and that's behind the scenes, so we don't know. But he is busily working on rewrites for that right now. But the music is supposed to be, as I said, supposed to be very good. I haven't heard it. I can't attest to that. But it sounds stupid. But people say it does actually hold together fairly well.
And there's another one. There's another one that somebody sent me an email for the other day. Oh, check this out. My friend wrote it. It's called Liberace Live from Heaven. Starring Bobby Crush, and apparently people like it.
Well, one of the big hits in Australia has been Menopause the Musical.
Oh, you're kidding me.
It's a huge... Yeah. It has travelled the country. Mm. I was there on an opening night here in Melbourne, and there was myself and one other guy. He was a 65 or 30 year old guy, and he was sitting in the same row as me, right at the other end. And at one point during the show, we both
Menopause.
Leaned forward together at the same time. We caught each other's eye, and we both said, yeah, I know.
It's quite funny, this one. I don't know if the Guinness Book of Records should come to Hong Kong, because we've got to have the world record for the amount of productions of the Vagina Monologues in every single language known to man Hong Kong they've been done. I don't know if you know that one.
Morris, yes, we know. I haven't actually been to it myself. Have you?
Oh, yes.
Is it good?
Eve Ensler's... Oh, it's... yes, we know, ladies.
Well, that's the same thing with Menopause the Musical. Menopause the Musical, it's about hot flushes, and we hear the hot flushes gags, and we hear the gags about needing to go to the toilet a lot and
how men are to blame for it all.
Yes, absolutely right.
Actually,
absolutely.
I don't think there's a male equivalent, to be fair, is there?
There was a musical, or no, it was a stage show called Defending the Caveman here in Australia.
Okay.
And it was actually, it was done by a comedian, but it was actually based on good science about how men have this inability to concentrate on more than one thing at a time. While gotcha. Women can do four things. Now, you're at a dinner table, you're having a conversation, your partner is at another part of the dinner table having a conversation, but yet somehow she can still hear everything that you're saying, so that on your way home you get bagged for everything that you said that wasn't right. You know?
Okay.
Amazing. Ability to speak and listen.
Tony.
Incredible.
Yeah, really.
And there was that puppet show that we had here.
Oh, yeah. Can you do the cheeseburger?
Oh, no. Well, I mean, yes, we can, but I mean, no, we don't want to do that. That's puppetry of the...
Doesn't work well on radio anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I was just thinking, the cheeseburger, no. Maybe the chicken McNugget. Anyway,
the wind sail I loved the most. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that. We're here to talk technology with you. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Before Ian Moss calls in about 4 minutes.
What's the deal with Nokia suing iPhone? Is it sour grapes or did they really nick some stuff?
Absolutely. Look, who knows? Nokia says they have the patents on a whole lot of stuff that the iPhone seems to be able to do. In the blogosphere, it's being portrayed as a whole lot of sour grapes and Nokia wants some money. They're claiming they're losing about $17 per unit, per handset, not getting their royalties.
There is something interesting about this one, though, because there's a lot of things that the iPhone cannot do and the Nokia stuff can.
Yeah, well, they've done the update, which I think brings in a lot, like you can... MMS?
Yes, you can.
You can, which you couldn't do before. You couldn't send photographs, could you?
You can now.
You can now.
You, can you can't put your own ringtones on it, and that's really fun. I used to have Get Smart on mine.
Can't you do that? Oh, no.
You can.
Come on then, Morris. Please.
Sally, you can come in for a second. Sally's got one of these iPhones.
Well, Sally can actually talk in the studio as opposed to out in the office.
Yes, she can. You do hear her, don't you? She's very loud, Sally. Sally, say hello to Phil.
Hi Sally. Phil, how are you going?
Oh, okay, good, thank you.
That's good.
Now, iPhone, can you do your own ringtones?
You have to download special software to personalise
your ringtone.
It can be done.
Same as you can't use Adobe Flash on it, but if you go, there's a patch for that as well. You have to download Citrix and go in through the back door of Word. It's very strange, but someone found a way to put Flash on.
But surely this stuff shouldn't be so difficult, should it?
It shouldn't. But God bless Apple, there are some roadblocks I just won't get out of the way of. And and the ringtones and the Flash are just two of the big ones.
How do I get the ringtones one? Because I want to put my stuff on as
a ringtone. Okay, Sally, how does he do it?
When I wanted to personalise a ringtone, I think I just did a Google search for personalising ringtones on iPhones, and there's 50 different people giving you step-by-step instructions. I think the software's, they give you links to it and everything, so just Google.
It involves a bit of work, though, when we're talking about Phil. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
Does that mean you can do two things at once?
Are you allowed to have your phone in the studio?
Yeah, and I accidentally... Well, why not? I mean, you keep it silent, keep it away from the mic, and nobody will know. Unless, like, yesterday, it kept
Doesn't
going...
Doesn't it go... Brr, brr,
no, it kept... I left it on by mistake, and I don't know iPhone well enough yet to sort it out. And every 5 minutes, it's going...
In the top left-hand corner, there's a rocker switch.
Yeah, I got
have
that
Have you
much,
got one as
doesn't
well?
It doesn't switch
Does everybody
off.
In the world have one of these things except me?
Yes.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, God.
It was just that when I was yesterday trying to do something sensible and serious, and I completely messed it up because I kept getting that all the time. Now I've forgotten how to switch it off. There we are.
Okay.
I had to apologise to these really nice people who were doing something really worthy and charitable, and I'm like...
you've got this really funky... This funky application called TweetDeck.
TweetDeck does is it brings in all the Twitter feeds, it brings in a Facebook and a whole lot of others. So you use one app to look at all your Twitter friends, put Twitter out, look at your Facebook, and look at a whole lot of other apps. It's one of those aggregating apps that we've been talking about over the past few
weeks. Aggravating.
Aggregating.
Right. Thanks, Sally, by the way. That's really cool of you.
She's now talking outside. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. What's Bunny Magic? Battery magic. Sorry.
We've got to get your eyes checked.
No. Your phone's only 90% charged, by the way. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, Nokia, you don't think they'll do... Okay?
They're certainly going to take them through the court, but Apple's not going to lose this one. I mean, they've both got big bucks, but Apple ain't going to lose it.
I mean, Phil, do you remember back in the day when Apple Records, like the Beatles company, sued Apple because Apple was distributing music and Apple had agreed not to distribute music, and then in the end, who wins out? Well, everyone except all the Beatles individually have put their stuff on the Apple store now, so who was going to win that one?
Basically, I don't remember that.
Don't you remember that?
I've only just got into this. I mean, I'm not into it now. It's just a thing I've got. And I've got about six things on it.
You're doing your own ringtones. I mean, you're sort of into it. I've never done ringtones in my life. It's good.
Oh, there's some great apps out there.
Yeah.
Some great apps. You got to get some.
What would you recommend Phil get?
Oh, look, Phil, get one of the get one of the augmented reality apps.
Augmented reality
is if there's not enough to do in the real world. When you get an augmented reality app, there's an interesting one called B-triple-U-K. Go into the App Store and type it in.
And what does that do?
It gives you restaurants in your area.
But I know all the restaurants.
Well, then don't get it. But what it does is it then puts it onto a map and it overlays it so you can find them easily. Or you can stagger to them a bit more.
Right.
Difficult. All right. You like that
okay,
one?
Okay, it's not getting him.
He's not
it's
liking
not getting
it.
Him.
Try Layer then. L-A-Y-A-R.
Come on then.
L-A-Y-A-R.
And he's doing it now. He's turned his mic off so that he
can... No. Can you hear when I turn my...
Yeah, I can... Off. Yeah. Can you hear when we turn out? Yeah, we just...
Oh, yeah,
good.
Yeah,
it sounds like that.
And Layer, again, is one of those that's going to grow. It's used a lot in Europe. It's now coming into Asia and into Australia. And it has an overlay of anything that you're looking for, so ATMs, cafes, buses, whatever. So it puts up a map, a Google map, and it gives you a little box on top of it of where these things can be found. And you can drill down into them, so if you click on a little restaurant, it tells you more about it. If there's a Google page on it, it takes you there. So that's what we're seeing more and more of. And they've been around only for about 4 weeks or so, these kinds of apps.
Yeah. Well, Google's launched a new music service, I believe.
Google wants to launch a new music service because it's the one thing it doesn't have a great deal of traffic about. It's called Lala.
Phil's doing the Layer thing.
Oh, okay. I'm listening. No, I'm listening. I just sneezed. You didn't want to hear that. So yeah. I was just thinking how actually rubbish iTunes is.
Don't you like it?
No.
Oh.
Now, there's a great service called Spotify. I don't think it works in Hong Kong. It doesn't work in Australia either, so it's useless talking about it. But Spotify works in the States and works throughout Europe. It's free streaming music. And has an enormous catalogue. It has millions and millions of people subscribed to it. And to get the free music, all you need to do is to listen to the 15 to 30 second ad before the song.
What kind of stuff are we talking here?
We're talking about a complete catalogue.
Yeah,
absolutely. Modern stuff. The whole catalogue.
Right, I'm going to look this up.
So it works really well, we're told. It has a huge cult following around the world, except in our side of the world, where it doesn't yet work because they can't get the rights and things
Spotify done
down here. So Lala, which is Google's attempt at doing something like a Spotify, again, it's not getting great traction because Spotify just has the marketplace. We've seen stuff like it before. Pandora was around for a while that tried to do the same thing. Last.fm was trying to
but
do the same thing.
But the quality of the stuff that you download, it's rights free. I mean,
you don't own it. It's streamed. So it's streamed down to your phone or down to what you're listening to. So it's like being able to choose the record from a huge jukebox, if that's the analogy you want to
so
use.
So if you're not connected to the internet, you can't
use it. No, it only works on the internet.
Yeah. Interesting thing the other day, Morris, that you might be able to explain. I was trying to listen to a good radio station that's in the UK, and I got in there, and it said, aha, you appear not to be in our country. However, if we've got it wrong, put your postcode in. Mm. So I put my mother's postcode in, and it worked.
Yes.
I tried to download a song yesterday, because you can't get it on my usual store, and the same thing, it wanted a postcode. So I just need a postcode to put in.
You do.
Is that them saying, we know this is a load of BS, just put in an English postcode and you could listen to us?
They often have a legal requirement to do that because they can't broadcast or they can't sell, they can't do something outside of geographic boundaries.
Yeah,
so
but
they have to be seen to be doing it.
Yeah, I hear you, but it's there, isn't it? It's not like there's some big block on it.
But you've got to put in your Visa card details, and that's obvious that you're not English. You know,
that's a whole different place.
This was just listening to Classic FM.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
There are third-party proxy servers, which are just a fancy way of saying there's a backdoor into all those places too. And if you look up third-party proxy servers, you'll find one. One's called Hide Mine. I can't use the last word, but it's kind of another word for bottom. If you use something like that and then use that to surf into those places, it'll open up for you.
Oh, right. Okay.
So there's a workaround for everything.
Thank you very much for that.
You're actually
welcome.
Phil, we've got to say, you have spoken to Ian Moss. We're talking to Phil Whelan at RTHK in Hong Kong. Ian Moss has just released his new album, Soul on West 53rd Street. He's just joined us. Ian Moss, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you. Beautiful sunny morning here in Melbourne.
Do you remember speaking to Phil Whelan at RTHK in Hong Kong?
No.
Yeah, he called me the consummate professional.
G'day, Mossy. How are you? Good to talk to you. I've lost your album, though. I was trying to play it. Well, they've had a clean-up here, mate, and sorry, I love it. I was playing it all the time, but it's disappeared. So apologies, otherwise I'll be playing it now.
And
we'll send you a couple of fresh. Well, I don't think there's a new one, Soul on West 53rd, which has just come out here, so we'll send you a copy of that one as well.
And it's a great album, too, because this is the album that you recorded in New York, Soul on West 53rd, recorded on West 53rd, not on the pavement, obviously, but in the power plant studio. It is a terrific album, and I love especially the song that you sing with Jimmy Barnes back in the old Cold Chisel days.
Ah, yes, What Becomes of the Broken Hearted.
Yeah, good number.
A late addition to the album.
Oh, was it? Okay. Because when you actually started, when you did the first Cold Chisel album, you really did have a bit of soul and blues on there. You did One Long Day, which was very, very soulful song.
There's quite a few. I mean, I think the thing really is it's at the base of everything that Walker writes. It's definitely strongly influenced by blues and even jazz, I'd say.
Yeah. I
was just going to say, both of you, another album, you mentioned Jimmy Barnes, he gave me a copy of Soul Deep, and that's fabulous. Do you guys really enjoy that one?
Oh, yeah, we loved it. It's great. That was a great album. That was a few years ago now, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what about you, Ian? What do you think of the way Jimmy's gone in the last few years?
I'll leave that for you guys to talk about me.
Yes, me. Where are you gigging at the moment, Ian?
Okay, like I said, the album Soul on West 53rd came out just last week, so I'm pretty busy heading all around the country. It will take me right up to Christmas this week. I'm in Melbourne, the Ferntree Gully Hotel tonight, and we're at Chelsea Heights tomorrow night, and... next week is Country New South Wales, and the following week is Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, West Australia the week after that.
Any Asia? Sorry, Phil.
No, unfortunately, it's all Aussie.
Okay.
At the moment, still working on the OS thing. It's sort of, a little foray over to Hong Kong was about the first in many years, but yeah, it'd be nice if a bit more of that happened.
Certainly would. Phil.
Okay, so that's exactly what Phil's going to organise for you. We'll get you a few gigs up. Ian Moss, what we might do is just leave it out, take it out with What Becomes of the Broken Hearted. That's you and Jimmy. It's the last track on the album. And Joan Osborne. What do you tell us about Joan Osborne?
I hadn't known much about Joan until we did the song, but then I saw her... good old YouTube is a great place to catch just about anyone you can think of. You're gonna find them on YouTube. So I caught a lot of her singing on that. It's a terrific R&B voice.
Yeah, fantastic.
Let's have a bit, shall we?
Yeah, let's have a little bit of that. Thank you, Ian Moss.
Thanks. Good to talk to you again. Cheers.
Okay, see you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
And I'll say goodbye to you guys as well, I think.
Okay, thanks very
see
much.
See you, Phil.
See you, mate.
See you,
Phil.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.